Hello and welcome to the Hockey 411 podcast. I'm your host, Brian Anderson. And in this week's episode, we are talking with Johnny Lazarus from the Daily Faceoff, talking New York Rangers. Wanted to put an insert in here explaining that this was recorded before Jacob Trouba was traded and before Igor signed his long-term extension. We still have a lot of great content in here, a lot of good stuff talking about this Rangers team and what they are going through right now and what they need to fix. But the timeline is before Drury making the trade and the long-term signing. We hope you enjoy this episode. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and we'll catch you in the next one. You're listening to the Hockey 411 podcast with your host, Brian Anderson. Hello and welcome to the Hockey 411 podcast presented by SeatGeek. Use the code THEHOCKEY411 to get $20 off your first purchase. Johnny Lazarus from the Daily Faceoff rejoins the show. Johnny, I think this is time three or time four on the pod?
I think four. It's been a couple of years, definitely 3 years or so coming on here.
You've definitely been on the show a couple of times. We're talking Rangers again, and look, if you're a Ranger fan, the last 2 to 3 weeks has been really struggling. So let's kind of start there. And from what it's worth, like you go to it feels like it really started in that Edmonton game. You go on the road and you kind of get your teeth kicked in and you're like, okay, like whatever, like tough go. Then it just kind of all goes downhill. So there's a couple things we're going to get into here, but I wanted to get your take on how this kind of skid has been going, because if you told me this at the beginning of the season, that this Ranger team would really be kind of soul searching, I would have been like, what are you talking about right now? I'm really confused.
Well, let me ask you a question, because what do you mean when you say it started in the Edmonton game?
Like, it kind of feels like at the start of like where they're at right now, that was kind of like the peak. Like you could see some cracks really starting to show, and then everything kind of trickles downwards, and it just kind of, the snowball has just kept going and picking up more snow as we've gone along, because that's the game where you look at it. And, you know, if you're on the East Coast, maybe you didn't get a chance to see the entire game. And I remember watching some of the first period. It was like, okay, like not a great effort on the road. And then it's like, all right, I'll go to bed and I'll pick this up the rest of the night. And you open up the score sheet and you're like, whoa, that's not what I expected. So obviously it kind of feels like that was the start of everything, at least in terms of on ice production. I think when Drury started, you know, this letter or this leak ended up coming out about Trouba.
The memo, Carter, they're calling it.
Yeah, the memo. Whenever that happened, it's kind of feels like my days are getting blurred here. But that also could be a sign of when this was really starting to pull together, like really starting to happen. So that's kind of like the two big landmarks I have in my head right now about this Rangers club.
I think it's been, I mean, I said it after, I think after the Toronto win, like back, you know, like this is like probably the fifth game of the season. And I was like, yeah, like, listen, they're playing well, they're off to a good start, but they haven't really beaten a top team yet. And I think I, like you said, the Edmonton game, and sure, that's when it got like really loud, but I don't think they've been good really for a majority of the year, at least against the good teams. Like, you know, I know they beat the crap out of Montreal, like 7-2. The next game they play Florida and lose at home 3-1 in a Ranger Florida fashion, right? Like they had a hard time generating in that game. And I think since then, the confidence, since the Florida game, the confidence has not been there. Like even in the games against San Jose, that first 30 minutes of that game, Sharks were the better team. I thought the Sharks were going to win that game. Ottawa, the Rangers, not the better team in that game. They squeak out a 2-1 win. What other games stand out? Like they beat Detroit, but Jonathan Quick carries them to that win. You know, there's so many little things that aren't as loud when the goalies are making saves, but when the goalies aren't making the saves, all those mistakes get a little bit louder. And now we're seeing it, right? So, you know, there's so many different ways to think about this team, and I guess we'll get into that. I'm not going to ruin it right now.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get into the big names, but I think you really hit it on the head. It's a confidence thing, because last year you saw in games you're down one goal, but like, hey, we're going to make a comeback here. We're going to end up winning this game. You don't see that out of this Rangers club this year. And there's a lot of pressure on them right now to turn it around, because if you're Chris Drury, how much wiggle room do you actually have? Like, no one's going to make a big splash trade to bail you out here. You're going to have to fork over something if you want to move apart. And, you know, the fact that you're coming out and saying something about Trouba again, and, you know, throwing Kreider in the mix. Like, these are your leaders of the group. These are the guys that have been around the longest. So I didn't really necessarily agree with that. Obviously, I have my own opinions about certain guys getting traded, but let's start with this core here. The group that's been around the longest, this Mika Zibanejad, this Chris Kreider, this Jacob Trouba, the guys that have been through the rebuild that have been around the longest. You know, Panarin's been here a while and I haven't minded his game, but what have you thought of these three guys? I mean, look, a lot of Ranger fans want Trouba gone. I understand that there is the defensive element with him, you know, lunging at guys, you know, getting caught out of position. You know, maybe the foot speed isn't there, but he does bring that physical element. So it's kind of a trade-off. Like, who are you going to have fill those minutes come in? Like, you're already kind of swapping out Zach Jones here with a couple other guys. So it's tricky to find those minutes there. You know, Mika kind of looks like he's just going through the motions. Chris Kreider has a back issue, probably because he's been carrying the team for God knows how long. But, you know, it's hard to get rid of these guys. And I have just as many issues with a Mika and a Trouba. But at the end of the day, you cannot necessarily go out and put your guys on notice in the public. That's a in-house, like, you guys better pick it up here. And they're going to have to dig deep and figure it out, because no one's going to – Drury can't bail this group out. They're going to have to figure it out. And you can't fire Lavi either. So where do you kind of go from here with this core?
Listen, I mean, I know it's
a loaded question. Like, it's a loaded question.
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot there. I don't even know if it was a question. I'm just messing with you. But, you know, you look at the schedule over the next, like, month or so, these next, like, 6-7 games – they can kind of claw their way out of it if things go well, right? Like, they got Pittsburgh at home, Seattle at home, Chicago at home. That's the next three. Those are three games, theoretically, they should win, right? Then they got Buffalo on the road. Then they're home against LA. Then they're at St. Louis, at Nashville, at Dallas. That's when the schedule kind of picks up, because the next five games after that, that's when it's like, okay, you know, put your big boy pants on. Let's see what you really got, because they got Carolina, Jersey, Tampa, Florida, Boston, Washington, those next six games. So I think, and what the point I'm getting at with the schedule is, like, if these next three games don't go well, I think you have to panic. If these next three games go well and they can find their confidence, because listen, they don't have to, there's a trade deadline. They don't have to do anything right now, right? Like, no one's saying the season's over right now. And I know Ranger fans, I know myself, we see this team win five games in a row, we're sucked back in, right? Like, that's just how it goes. So you got to give them this next little five-game window to figure it out. And if they don't figure it out, then I think it's done. It's over. I mean, I think it's basically pretty much over right now as it is. But, yeah, I mean, I've said it for like 2 weeks. The answer is not in that room. Like, I don't think it's in that room. But when it comes to contracts and making moves and how – the logistics of these things work, it's just not feasible. So I don't know what you really can go out and do. And that's the biggest mistake Drury made, was that he made something public that he probably can't even fix. So it kind of tarnishes, I don't want to say his like reputation, but it basically just says, like, all right, this guy just acts incredibly emotionally, and how are we supposed to take him seriously? You know?
I think the way it was handled over the summer after losing, you know, in six, like coming that close to the Stanley Cup with Florida, how public it got over the summer, especially with Trouba, and now this coming on top of it, you know, Drury's had a lot of fires to put out, especially in the public image and, you know, trying to repair relationships. You know, guys, you know, you think about that when you walk into your job and you know your boss is looking to cut your head off, it's tough to perform. You know, like, I want to be here, I want to be a Ranger, but at the same time, like, I don't really care if we win or lose at this point. You know, you guys want me gone anyway, so what does it matter? So, like, there's two sides to that coin. It's tricky. It's a tricky line to balance here. And look, it starts from multiple different ends. Like, you talk about the neutral zone, you talk about the defensive zone. Like, guys just, especially in the Montreal game this past weekend, it was just bing, 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 a lot of different times, letting teams walk right back in. And even in the New Jersey game, just two constant two-on-ones. And, you know, it's hard for me to be like, okay, the defensive zone. But when you've watched, I don't put a lot of this on Peter Laviolette, but like when you watch him, you know, with Nashville, with Washington, a lot of times it's this West Coast style offense. It's go, go, go. And, you know, Darcy Kemper in Washington really struggled and he didn't get a lot of support. And maybe we're seeing that right now. And when you can't buy into a system, it's kind of not clicking. And when your top guys aren't producing, like we, how many times have we said it over the past year and a half about Mika Zibanejad, especially 5-on-5? It took him forever to score 5-on-5. And he just kind of looks like he's there. I don't mean to single him out, but I know he's a guy that a lot of Ranger fans are wanting a little bit more out of here.
Yeah, I think it's just the expectation, right? Like, you look at other top line centers around the league, and for the most part, you know, the ones who are making that kind of money and the ones who have like the pre-existing, I don't know what the word would be, like the resume, I guess, right? Like 41 goal scorer, you know what he's capable of and you're not seeing it. Like that's I think the biggest disappointment this year is like, there wasn't much changeover from last year. We know what they're capable of, and they're just not even showing anything close to it. So it just leaves you scratching your head of like, what the hell happened here? Where clearly, for the most part, it's not something that's physical. It's something that's mental. Because we saw what they're like when they're at their physical peak last year, which still, quite frankly, isn't good enough. It's good, but it's not good enough in the long term. And this year, like, they're just not handling passes. They're not executing on, you know, things that they used to execute on. Like Mika Zibanejad 2 years ago, that play against Philly, like he scores that goal 9 times out of 10, right? And I know it's a tough bounce, it goes off the toe of his stick or whatever, but like he bears down 2 years ago and puts that in. Like that's just, it's just how it went. And quite frankly, like I think the human effect is something to really take a look at here, where, you know, you want to be fired up to play, and you're a professional athlete, and no one should have to fire you up to do that. But at the same time, when you feel like people are quitting on you and you try to prove them wrong and you can't, it's almost time to move on. It's a very interesting situation, both physically and mentally, that we're watching right now. And I don't know what the answer is myself. And I know for sure they don't know either.
Definitely don't know. And it's got to be a nerves thing, because when you look at certain plays, like not being able to handle passes, the power play kind of not looking right, like this team, it's the exact same roster. You added Riley Smith and you removed
Wenberg and Roslovic and Goudreau.
Yeah. And
Gustafson.
The core is there. All the main parts are there with this team. It's all there. And it's got to be a nerves thing. Like, am I afraid to make a pass? And if I can't catch it, am I getting cut tomorrow? Am I getting traded tomorrow? So that's part of it. And then, you know, at the same time, too, I definitely want to talk about Igor here, because, you know, that's another thing that has been a giant talking point throughout the offseason, throughout this season. I'm sure it's a big distraction in there. It's like the Yankees with Juan Soto, the Mets with Juan Soto. You keep talking about this contract for if you're a New York fan, to say, you know, Juan Soto goes somewhere else, like he leaves New York City, and then Igor leaves New York City, how devastating that will be just as a fan in general. And then you have the Jets and the Giants, and the only thing I guess you can really root for then is the Knicks to really pull through.
They look good.
It's that. Yeah, the Knicks look good, but it's that same mindset of having that possible distraction. Like, I remember on your show listening to it, like, does Igor even want to be here? I think he definitely does want to be here, considering, you know, his background, the big Russian contingency in New York. I would be shocked if he went anywhere else. But you also have to consider, too, if he's getting his head beaten in and you're not getting any defensive support. And granted, some of the goals that he's let in, it's real head scratchers, like the first goal against Carolina off the wall.
Oh, the first goal against Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, first goal against Carolina in that rock star zone there. And obviously, I can't, you know, blame him for 2-on-1.
That was a sick shot, but yeah, I mean, that was like a 1 in a million.
But still, like if you want 10 to 13 million, you got to, you know, be on your post and make that save. So it's, and you know what? When you let in weird ones like that too, it resonates down the bench, because you get back and you're like, why, you know, can this guy make a save? For a team that as mentally fragile as it is right now, little things like that add up. And I think Igor stays. I'm not sure about you, but I'd be shocked if he goes anywhere else.
Well, now it seems like people don't even want him to stay. Because what does that do again? Because, you know, this goes back to Henrik Lundqvist. It's like, you know, you pay the goalie money and then you got holes in front of him and no one can figure it out. So, like, listen, I'm team, even going back to Henrik, like, I'm not changing any of that. Like, I'm not letting Henrik Lundqvist walk. Like, I don't care what anyone says. I know the outcome. I know they won. I know they didn't win a cup, but I'd much rather have the guy in net that I know will make the save when it matters most than the guy who I am unsure of. And listen, say what you want about Igor right now. There's still no guy I'd want more in a playoff game than that guy. And his playoff numbers speak for themselves. And I know the saying is always, you make your money in the regular season, you make your name in the playoffs. But, like, this guy is still the guy to me. And sure, right now it's a slump. But, like you said, he's facing a lot. Like, he's seeing the second most shots per game, like, outside of Lucas Dostal and Anaheim. You know, like, we're talking about the Anaheim Ducks here. And in no world should the Rangers be this bad defensively. Like, I know that this blue line is not as bad as what they're showing right now. And maybe, sure, like, you know, you'll say what you want about Trouba and Lindgren and whatnot. But, like, Keandre Miller is not playing his best. Even Adam Fox is not playing his best. Foxy's still been – I think Foxy's been fine, but he hasn't been his best. Zach Jones has looked good, actually. Braden Schneider has been, like, good at times and then, like, at times. But I'd give him more of the positive than the negative. But collectively as a whole – you know, when was the last time we saw the Rangers play a game where it was like, wow, they were really solid that entire game? Maybe the Seattle game, but they're, you know, Seattle's forwards aren't necessarily like the most threatening, right? Like, they don't score a lot. But outside of that, like, I couldn't tell you the last game I watched and I was like, you know, this blue line's locked in.
I wonder if you're walking into that room, you know, expecting to win, expecting to lose, like, you're just walking and going through the emotions. Like, we're really emphasizing on the mental stuff, but the blue line has been, you know, a lot of heat's gone true, but Keandre Miller has not been as good as I would have expected. There are certain things, details definitely below the dots where I'm just kind of head scratching with him. Fox has been fine. Schneider's been fine. Jonesy's been a nice little surprise. I want to get him more ice time. Lindy is just, you know, Ryan Lindgren at this point. I mean, he's had so many injuries here, but I do want to switch the gears here. I want to talk about some positives. There's a lot of negative around this Rangers team, but I got to talk about some positives here, and that's Will Cooley.
Will Cooley.
That is one of the one of I think three positives I have written on my note sheet. And, you know, for a guy who is getting more minutes here, he's working his tail off. Every time I see him, every shift, he's busting his ass towards the net. He's trying to win battles. Like, everything that you want out of a guy and a plug and play, like spark energy, that's Will Cooley right now. And he's putting the puck in that. I think it's 20 points in 24 games at this. At this point in the season, but he's been fantastic. He's been a real find. You saw a lot of good things out of him last year, but he's taking another step this year, which is fantastic to see. And he's going to be a really nice, you know, up and down the lineup guy, really solid top nine player for this team for a bit.
21 points last year. Can you believe that?
We're past Thanksgiving.
In 81 games. Yeah, 81 games, 21 points. He's got 20 points in 24 games this year. Talk about a big jump, right? Like, we always talk about players taking that next step, right, and making a big jump. But it rarely happens from, like, year one to year two, right? It's usually, like, year three to year four, I'd say. Like, you know, they'll maybe slowly increase, but then that big jump, I would say, is usually year four. And, you know, I think he he's playing great, but he looks so much better just because everyone else looks like they don't give a shit, right? Like, it's not like Will Cooley's Wayne Gretzky or you know, he's playing lights out. Like, he's playing good. But because of how bad everyone else looks, his game looks that much better, right? Like, if Mika was playing better, if Kreider was playing better, if Riley Smith was playing better, if even Lafreniere's been a little bit quiet, if he was playing better, like, because those guys aren't doing it, Cooley just looks that good. And I don't want to take any credit away from Will Cooley. But, you know, the narrative that Will Cooley is our best player right now is simply just because he looks like he gives a shit. And the body language, for the most part, is just not good from everybody else. Like, it's just not there. And that's what I don't get. Like, how do you have this, like, crazy emotional game against Montreal? And sure, there's a fight at center ice in the first minute and a half from your captain, who, by the way, people think it was like a response to the Larry Brooks article. He's fighting because he has to, because he laid the shit out of Justin Barron and Josh Anderson challenges him from the game before. So that's him just answering the bell. He does that. And then the whole garden, the whole building, the whole bench has so much emotion. And you feel it. And then you come out two nights later against a rival, probably your biggest rival in the last 3 years. And where's that? Where's any emotion? Zero. None of it. None of it. I just don't know at this point how that happens. Like, how could you not get up for that kind of game? Especially after you score with like 22 seconds left the game before to win.
And the Devils are a really good team this year. They made some great improvements on their blue line. They got a goaltender, but the difference is that it just wasn't competitive. And I'm wondering if, you know, you made the point that Will Cooley looks better because, well, he's the only guy really, you know, playing with a heart here. Could you say that about Berard here too? I've loved Berard's game. I know he's a little smaller, but he's a little spark plug than going out. I don't know if he's a long-term solution, but for an organization trying to get a jump in a room and a jump on the bench, be like, hey, this guy's working his tail off. Let's pick up our game. I've liked Berard. I've liked him in the bottom six. Do I think he's a long-term thing? Maybe not. Maybe. I'd love him to prove me wrong and be an everyday guy, but that's another positive. You know, guys coming up from the minors and just being like, hey, like, this guy's trying to prove his worth here, and he's just been go, go, go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you have guys in your lineup that are playing with something to prove, I think that's only contagious, right? If you could find more of that, go for it. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Berard's been – he's been good for what's been asked of him. I don't think, you know, anyone's asking him to put up 25 to 30 points, right? Like, I think you're just asking him to go win a race to a puck, keep it in the offensive zone, don't get scored on, and maybe throw a couple hits. Like, that's really it. You know, he scores a beautiful goal against Carolina. I think he had an assist at home against St. Louis, maybe in that game, his first game, I think. And, you know, I listen, he moves his feet. And that's all you can really ask for, a guy who just constantly buzzes out there. And they don't have enough of that. So he can keep a guy like that in the lineup, go for it. All for it.
That's my thing. I remember, you know, when I was playing, and probably yourself, like, if you see a guy coming into the lineup after being out and he's just working his tail off, you come back to the bench, you're like, hell yeah, like, I'm fired up here. This guy's working his tail off. Let's continue our game. Like, it's infectious. So you need positivity. You need good stories like that. And I think, you know, we're running out of time here. My last question is that the way Drury has handled this, the way how everything is gone, I know we didn't get into a lot of technicals, but it's a lot of mental with this team, and I know you were hinting at it before with the schedule.
Do I expect something to happen?
Yeah, well, not even that, but, like, where does this really go from here? Like, where's the bottom? Like, I know we talked about schedule, but, you know, if it's as bad as we're seeing right now, the bottom can fall out, and then you're going from a team that was two wins away from the finals. And you can say the Florida Panthers, I guess, broke this core, and do you blow it up? Like, does Chris Drury get let go at the end of the year after the way he's handled this last two seasons, the way he's handled the deadline? I know a lot of Ranger fans are upset about certain moves. And, you know, part of, I think, too, here, losing Hedl for a little bit of time. That was kind of a domino effect there, too. This team is so much better with him versus without him. So there's a lot of decisions here. The heat is on. It's a big stage on Broadway. I'm just kind of curious your final closing thoughts here. Like, does this get any better? Like, are we seeing the light here at any point?
I think I haven't really had this thought yet, but it's just now hitting me, I guess. Maybe this sounds crazy, but I think it's a win-win, maybe, if you really think about it, because if they start winning games, great, right? Like, we want to see them win. We care about the team. We want them to win. It's all that really matters. But if they start losing and this gets worse, at least they'll have to make some change, right? Like, at least they won't pretend there isn't a problem anymore, which has been somewhat of the case, I feel like, over the past, you know, maybe year and a half, right? Or honestly, dating back to, like, when Buchnevich was traded. You know, like, that's really, to me, when there was a clear hole that needed to be filled, and they haven't figured out, like, playing well 5-on-5 since. So I think, like, listen, like, if it gets worse, we'll see some change, and that could be good in the long term, you know? So, like, the team that I'm thinking about, honestly, and I made this comparison, I think, yesterday, I was like, what's happening with the Rangers and the buzz and the talk and the chatter right now with the GM and everything, the coach, the players, like, at least there's talk about it and, like, potential movement. Like, other teams, they just stay stagnant for years. Like, look at the Islanders, right? Like, the Islanders make those conference finals, and then, you know, they haven't really made many moves. They got Bo Horvat, Sharon, and Duclair this past summer, but, like, what have they really done to change their team when everyone knows that team's not good enough? You know? Like, for years, we thought this team was good enough. Now that we know, we'll make some changes. So, at least there's a positive there.
It's a good way to wrap it up here. Johnny, thank you so much for joining the show. We'll give you a couple seconds to plug your work, where the fans can find you, and I'm sure we'll have you on at some point again.
Appreciate you, Brian. And I'll just plug One Cup of Hockey every Monday to Thursday on the Daily Faceoff YouTube channel, 9 to 10 a.m. A lot of fun. You know, we have different kinds of guests on. We talk about all the teams around the league, but I try to squeeze in as much Ranger stuff as I can. So appreciate you, and hope all is well. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and happy early holidays.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. To catch all the latest, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at The Hockey 411. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.